Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Phoenix, Arizona, it's time for Phoenix Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Welcome to Rhino Nation, broadcast to you live from Phoenix Business Radio X studio in Tempe, Arizona, powered by Rhino Online Strategies and e-creativity. Rhino Nation is a growing community of influential entrepreneurs and small business owners that share a common trait. They don't walk, they don't run, they charge to their destiny. So we're here to acknowledge and celebrate their business expertise, leadership, and fearless attitude to be victorious in their goals. Rhino Nation is committed to making powerful connections and providing enhanced exposure to broaden the reach and promote the extraordinary talents of our community members. I'm Michelle Faust, and I'd like to welcome my guest today, Mindy Weinstein, CEO of Marketing Mindshift, and Alex Schreck, Business Development Manager of Solvature, Inc. Welcome to both of you.
Thanks, Michelle. We appreciate you having us.
Thanks for having me. Having us, Michelle.
Absolutely. Delighted to have you here. So what I'm going to ask to start things out, to kick off our conversation, is just give you each a few minutes to talk about your background, a little bio on your business, so that everyone listening in can get an idea of what it is that you do. And then we'll just delve a little deeper after that. So Mindy, you want to go ahead and start with your background a bit?
Absolutely. So I have been in digital marketing since 2007, and I have experienced all the different names of the industry. So whether you want to call it web marketing, internet marketing, digital marketing, I've been there for it all. And for many years, I was working at different agencies on the content side and very heavy on the marketing side. And then I transitioned to a very technical role within digital marketing, which is referred to as search engine optimization. And so a couple of years ago, I stepped out on my own after leaving a pretty big agency, but just because I am a mom, day to day, I'm a mom, and I wanted to be around my kids more, and I was traveling quite a bit. And so I started Market Mindshift in January 2016. And so we help clients really improve their online visibility. And I also do a lot of training and workshops. And so I teach at a lot of conferences, but my big passion is being able to teach businesses how they can either do it themselves, or if they need a little hand holding, then we do that as well. And so I've trained brands of all sizes. A lot of them I can't even mention, but you would know them if you've heard them. Everybody does.
That's fantastic. Mm-hmm. I've got a lot of questions for you on that.
Good. Perfect.
So, Alex, tell us a little bit about yourself.
So I moved out here to Phoenix, Arizona in 2011 to attend ASU. I was majoring in kinesiology, and about halfway through, I switched focus into sales and marketing. I just became interested in being able to grow businesses and produce results and revenue for them. And at the time, my dad was working for a development agency that developed on the Magento platform, which is a platform that helps businesses grow online in e-commerce. And so I started working for that agency, and about a year ago, my father decided to start Solvature and hire me as their business development manager, and just been going from there. I'm just love e-commerce and the potential it gives for entrepreneurs out there and growth in current companies.
Fantastic. That's great. Your area of expertise is even further over my head than the subject of SEO and such. So I'm going to learn a lot for this hour. So that's great. And I know you're from Milwaukee, right?
Originally, yeah.
Yeah. So I just have to ask, because my daughter lives in a very, very rural, teeny tiny little town in the middle of Wisconsin called Nakusa. Ever heard of that?
I have not.
That's how small it is. Not that far from Milwaukee, but I think it's probably about 5,000 people, I want to say. So anyway, she loves it there. One of the questions that I wanted to put out to you is, well, first of all, you've got a real varied experience in so many different arenas of marketing. How did you kind of narrow it down more to the expertise in SEO?
I like to say it was all strategic, except for I fell into it. That's really, if I want to be honest, I fell into it. So I have a background in marketing that spans beyond 2007. And so I graduated with a degree in marketing, always interested in it. That's what I did. But I was in actually the personal finance space doing marketing, and I used to supplement my income with home loans. And if you remember about 2007, 2008, a little rough if you were in the residential real estate world. And so at that time, I was looking to just completely change career paths. And I had a relative who is still a web developer. And he'd made a comment to me of, well, why don't you write for websites? You like to write. And I didn't even think that was a job. Like, I didn't think people paid you for that. I'm like, that's a thing? Like, you can write for websites? But remember, this is 2007. And I started to write for websites. My entire career took a complete change. And I was a freelance writer. I got hired on by an agency that specialized in lawyers and doctors. And pretty soon on, I went from just being a writer to being in charge of their content team to I grew that from 4 writers to 40 writers and editors by the time I left 5 years later. And during those 5 years, the agency said, hey, you're doing so good on the content side. Why don't you take over the SEO team? And at that time, I was a little cocky and I thought, well, how hard could that be? Like, I got this. I can do SEO. Yeah, how hard can that be? let's put it that way.
Very hard.
It was very hard. And there was a very small team on that side that I was in charge of. And so immediately, if there was anything going on with any website, everyone was looking to me, even though I was new to SEO. And I know that happens to a lot of us in our careers. So I went from, didn't necessarily dip my feet in the water. I like fell in head first. And during that time, every time I think about it, I still get stressed out. But I went to an SEO training by someone, his name is Bruce Clay, and he is one of the first people in SEO. He actually was one of the people that helped coin the phrase. And I sat on the front row of his training. I didn't know anything. I thought I did, but I didn't know anything about SEO. Even my notes were a little spotty. Like, I couldn't even spell the right terms that he was describing. But I learned so much, and I actually ended up being recruited by Bruce Clay and his company. And so I really got heavily into the technical SEO side. So if it's someone had told me that one day I would be doing technical work, I would tell them they were crazy. But I learned that it's fun. Okay, it's not for everybody. You know, you have a lot of sleepless nights because Google's always changing, but it's fun in the view that you can apply marketing knowledge, psychology knowledge, plus then the knowledge of technology and how that works and really blend them together to help companies. And so that's the part to me that's exciting. And it changes all the time. Like Google, just to give you an idea, they have a ranking algorithm and there's hundreds of variables in it. Last year, they changed it about 800 times, and they don't tell us. So, I mean, pretty much every day, like right now, there's changes. Like, oh, you know, you just have to keep up with them, but it makes it fun. Never bored.
Well, so that leads me to, you know, one of the things I was thinking about, and this applies to both of you. So I'll let Alex address this first, but the changing paradigm, it's so fast. It moves almost as fast as you blink. So it is hard to keep up with. And both of you, I think, are in that realm of internet that you have to keep as on top of it, more so than a lot of people. So it's not really a question, Alex, just sort of a take on the changing paradigms, on the how marketing moves so quickly.
Yeah, I mean, speed is a big factor right now, not just for e-commerce merchants, but me doing digital marketing for Solvature right now. It's incredible just being on social media and online and seeing how fast content is moving and how fast people are digesting that content. You really got to stay on your toes and know what's happening in the market, what people are talking about, to really leverage and get people to read that and consume it in a timely fashion to where it doesn't just fall by the wayside and become forgotten.
Yeah, and just adding to that, because I agree with you, there's so much content out there. So even taking the internet world out of it, we already know as marketers, it is so difficult to stand out from all the noise. You know, there's a lot of noise. I teach a marketing class at GCU, and usually the statistic I quote to the students is that every day you have about 5,000 marketing messages that you're presented with. And every time I say that, they're like, no way. I'm like, well, start counting before you even get to class, and they lose count. So you already have that. And then like you're talking about, Alex, when you mix in the internet, I mean, we also then have, there's so much on social media. And the platforms are constantly changing. So even Facebook's changing their algorithm with what you're going to see in your feed. You know, LinkedIn's making all these changes. I mean, so you have that to contend with too. So talking about staying on top of it, like for me, I'm always reading and I don't necessarily have time to read blog after blog after blog. I usually go to even to Twitter and I follow certain experts and I already know before it's even posted anywhere else that, hey, something's in the work, you know, works, something's in the water, you know, make sure you're paying attention to it. So you have that on top of everything. So it goes with the whole speed thing. I mean, it's so constant and quick and it keeps you on your toes. I like that
analogy. I know for myself, I get comfortable with something. Something as simple as just a Facebook post. Mm-hmm. And I go and all of a sudden it's like, wait a minute. It's different than it was yesterday.
Right.
You know, there's no, hey, we're changing this and this. And then you have to spend time trying to figure out exactly what the changes are. So it does get frustrating. But at the same hand, I get very energized by it all because it's exciting to see the movement and what businesses can do that they could never do before.
Right. No, I think that's exciting. I agree with you. And I think for businesses, if they are working on this in-house and they have someone who's helping them with their marketing, they just need to focus on the couple things that make the most sense for them. Because otherwise, it is overwhelming. Because if you're trying to do Facebook, you're trying to do LinkedIn, and you're trying to do this over here, and you got all these things, it's like there's no way to keep up with it. But if you just choose a handful, and that's what you focus on, and you're monitoring what's changing, and you're staying up to date, I mean, that's how these companies win.
And I think that's great advice. I've been told just don't try to take everything on, get to be an expert at one or two.
Right.
Yeah, you want to narrow it down to where you know a target market's going to be, and stick to that, and really become best at those spots rather than spreading yourself too thin, and then becoming mediocre in different areas. Because it's hard to be an expert at a ton of different things.
Right, exactly. One of the things that I wanted to ask you, conceptually I understand e-commerce, but drilling down to exactly what it is, I have to say I'm a little bit of a novice on that. So in really simplistic terms, what does Solvature do for the e-commerce customer?
Well, to start, if you're starting an e-commerce business, usually one of the first steps you got to take is, okay, what am I going to run my e-commerce business on? And you usually end up narrowing those down to two platforms, which is Shopify and Magento. The ultimate decision depends on a couple different factors, like what exactly you need the store to do, what kind of customizations you need. Do you want to own your store? Do you want to have complete control of your store? Do you want to be able to pick up your store from one host or developer and move it to the other at any given time? What kind of traffic you're expecting, or what kind of traffic you currently have? And then from there, you really need to focus on the underlying technology of it, like security, speed, and then its SEO capabilities. Obviously, the success of your e-commerce store is determined by how many visitors you can get to the site and then convert. But if your site isn't mobile optimized and it's not easy for someone to check out, a marketer is going to grow frustrated if they're getting visitors to the site and they're not converting. So what we do is optimize the technology end, make sure the sites are running fast. If a site runs slow, you're going to potentially lose that customer because, like we were just talking about, it's a fast-paced market. If they're on a site and it's taking too long to load, they're just going to hop over to the next competitor, and all of that time you spent marketing, getting people to your site, just got wasted because you didn't have a advanced enough technology implementation for your e-commerce store.
Okay.
So yeah. We really focus on the Magento platform. So that's if you are more of an enterprise level merchant or you have specific needs, customizations can also work for B2B instead of B2C. And it's just much more robust and customizable system. You don't really have a ceiling with Magento. And so that's what we work on.
One thing I love that you guys do too is that, because I mean, MySpace is different, but we have a lot of overlap too. And so, you know, especially for the companies that are like small to mid-size, you know, they think, okay, hey, I want an online store. That's great. You know, I want that presence there. And then, like you said, it's hard picking the platform. And I think some people, you know, they choose their platform and it's completely overwhelming. That's what I hear a lot. Completely overwhelming. They're not using it to its full potential. By the time I'm brought in, it's usually like a bunch of technical problems from the search perspective. But that's what I love what you guys do, because I feel like you're that support that those, you know, small to middle sized companies don't have. Because like some of my clients, they're big and they have their internal IT support. And that's all they do is focus on these platforms and helping. So I like, in my opinion, and whether I'm saying that the right way, I feel like you fill that gap that is so needed so that someone can just concentrate on sales. They can concentrate on bringing in the right products, looking at what's making them the most money, their ROI, while you guys worry about all the technical work. I mean, that's just, I see that a lot. Like I said, I'm just in a little different part of your world, but we connect a lot too on that. So I think it's pretty amazing.
Yeah. You know, there's so much out there for people to do do it yourself. Mm-hmm. But the problem is, I think most people end up spinning their wheels. You know, everyone's conscious of how much money they're spending. They're trying to get a return on their investment. They want to do the smart thing. But, startup typically don't have a lot of money. So I guess to that point, even Wix, you know, and some of these other web building, you know, they'll say optimize your SEO. How do you differentiate, you know, what you're doing versus, you know, what's out there that anybody can try to boost that up?
So what I will say is that, I mean, I definitely have opinions when it comes to content management systems is what it is, or the e-commerce platforms. Like Magento is a fantastic one. A lot of people are on WordPress in terms of talking about outside the e-commerce world where it works very well for them. But some of the other CMSs are very tricky and they might, and I say tricky, I'm talking about from a search perspective. They might be really easy to use and you can add your pictures, you can add your nice fonts and your colors, but they're never going to be found. Those pages will never be found in search results. And the reason is some of those platforms, most people won't know, but they're not set up the right way to really support SEO or really to support the search engines being able to find those pages and to properly go through them, which is referred to as crawling and spidering. I was trying to keep out my like weird terms, but I can't help it. So I'm going to throw those out there for you. But just know that those are important. So what I would say, my recommendation is any business that is considering a new platform like that, a CMS, that they do their homework where they are searching on Google for reviews. You can look up, you know, the CMS's name, you know, plus SEO. So, you know, like, okay, WordPress SEO, is this working? Or Wix SEO, WordPress usability. So they know how easy it is to use. But like I said, from the e-commerce level, I mean, definitely there's superior platforms, which like I said, Magento is definitely superior in my opinion on that side of things. But you just got to do your homework. And then even if you choose a platform that even has pre-built templates, you got to still make sure it's a good template for you. And when I say that, there's a lot on the back end you don't know. And that's why if you don't want someone to really do it for you, just do your research then. That's what I would say. Do your research. And one of the analogies that I use probably a little too much because I don't know anything about cars. So that's before I tell my analogy. But it's like, I feel like with websites, people spend so much time looking at the outside. So they're like, this is just a beautiful car. Like, look at the paint on it. Oh, look at the interior. It's a nice buttery leather. Oh, look at my wooden steering wheel. Like you go on and on and on. But why don't we pop the hood? And let's just make sure that everything looks like it should, because if it doesn't, you might have the best car, but it might not run, or it might not run the right way. That's a website to me. You got to look under the hood. And if you're not wanting to look under the hood, just then do your research, because other people have looked under the hood of these platforms.
Good analogy. So you probably need to, your next adventure might be doing an online class with people.
Cars. Well, I was thinking, like, usually when I do the car analogy, like, I used to try to talk about the engine, and I'm like, I don't know anything about engines, so I can only go so far. So, but buttery leather sounded good, and like paint sounds good, and I'm out. But you still get you get it.
Absolutely. For both of you, really, is their business too small, or is what you're doing appropriate for pretty much any level of a small business owner?
You mean in terms of the services that we offer to small businesses?
Exactly.
Or?
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, for my company, I mean, we actually help companies of all sizes. I mean, it just depends on their budget, whether they're going to work with us or not. But as far as industries that I work with, I focus more on companies that I feel like I have a passion about what they're doing, about their product, their service. So it really comes down to that.
Yeah.
And then in terms of size, it's just the budget.
And obviously.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know.
Budget is
that. Right.
Yeah, that's always the operative word. I do know different people who are real true startups, you know, as far as wanting to sell something, you know, whether it's craft or, you know, and everybody wants to get online and, you know, try to sell what they have. What do you suggest for somebody who's at that level? Should they get into a platform as Magento and, you know, what Solvature has to offer?
For someone like that, Magento probably wouldn't be the best option. Better option would be something like Shopify Lite, where they can start doing some market research and add a buy button on their Facebook page. And then they can start to run some Facebook ads, do some targeting, some marketing, and see how that's converting. And if they start to see that it's really blowing up, they'll probably get to a point when they're like, yeah, I want something more flexible that I can really customize exactly the way I want it. And then that's when you would move to something like Magento.
Okay. Okay. That's good clarification.
But in terms of like plug and play to start experimenting what you're selling, and you only have, you know, if you're just selling like small knickknack sort of stuff, Shopify, I would say is a great start. Yeah. If you don't have like a vast catalog, warehouse management systems, stuff like that.
Got it. Yeah, one of the reasons I ask is I try to offer anyone I work with that kind of entrepreneurial support of where do you go, you know, for your different needs. So again, I know some people who are just getting in that startup phase and you want to give them the right direction. You don't want to oversell them something they don't need. But on the same hand, you don't want to undersell if they really should be reaching out.
Right. So, I mean, I would just ask, if I was talking to one of your friends that you had just mentioned, I would start asking them questions like, what are your goals? Like, where do you see this e-commerce business in 5 years from now? Are you going to be a brand that's known by everyone? Is this a product that everyone's talking about and loves? Or is this more of like a hobby? Is this something you want to do on the side? Or is this like, you know, are you looking to turn this into like, you know, a site that's generating $500,000 a year? From there, I would be able to help guide them on what their current budget is, on like where to start with marketing. There's guys on Facebook and Twitter that do like Facebook ad coaching, and that sort of stuff is a good way to start seeing if the market's going to respond to whatever brand it is you're creating and attempting to sell. And if you get positive feedback from that, then you can just start upping the ante and reaching bigger and getting more sales.
The five-year plan, I think, is appropriate for anyone. Mm-hmm. Even if you're looking at it as a hobby, you know, then you need to acknowledge that.
You're right.
What's your five-year plan? And how are you going to reach that? And the different goals that you're going to need to reach your five-year plan. So that's great. I'm going to let a little secret out, so we didn't address it, but you guys are working together, right?
Yes.
And the reason I wanted to ask is I wanted the people who are listening to kind of get a perspective of what's it like working with each other. It's okay if you want to say something bad, I won't stop you. I don't think that's going to come out.
No, and I mean, I'll start. And that, as I mentioned, that I feel like you guys fill a hole that exists within the market, or there's a gap that you're filling. And that's really how I look at it, because I have spoken at conferences where there's just room filled with, you know, hundreds of e-commerce stores and their questions that they have and the struggles that they have. And there was even a handful of this one conference that they hired me to do audits, but they were all self-help. So they were or do-it-yourselfers. So, you know, I would give them a technical audit, which probably made them cry of all the things that's wrong with their website from a search perspective. Well, they don't really have the bandwidth to do anything. They don't understand. They don't even know if it's the right platform. And so that's what I just loved, you know, when I came in contact, like with Alex, when we were introduced, is that like, okay, finally there is a company that can help these e-commerce stores and help them with the support, because Magento is a great platform, but if you don't know anything about how all of that works, it's overwhelming in my opinion. And even for me, and I'm pretty technical, so I love that aspect of it. So, I mean, everything that, all the conversations we've had, I just love it because I feel like, again, you're very knowledgeable on that side and you offer that support for companies.
Yeah, working, thank you, Mindy. Working with Mindy is great because one thing that drew me to Market Mindshift initially is the fact that she does do SEO for Magento stores, and she's out speaking at events, which one of them she just invited me to. And knowing that you your SEO is backed by someone who is really an expert and what they're doing and are to the level of where they're actually teaching other people how to do it, you have a lot of comfort in knowing that they know what they're doing. And because sometimes it becomes difficult to measure results, especially with an agency or like ours and selling B2B, because it's not like I have tens of thousands of people to be reading my content on a daily basis. But at the end of the day, I still need to have that content, and it gives me clout. And because they understand Magento and the e-commerce space, when they're helping me write articles or blogs, whatever it may be, guides, ebooks, they're already a step ahead. Whereas a different writer might be writing something and it's just not really applying. Like there's some content on there, but it's not really like educating the reader and providing a whole ton of value, which Mindy is able to do.
Because she knows and understands you, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
I get Alex.
Well, in to the point you just made of, you know, not everybody has time to read all the blogs, but I think it's really valuable that you're putting yourself out there. So whether or not they can actually open up your piece and read it, you're still in front of them. You're still putting your name out there. And of course, everything gets archived, so they can always go back. But I really see the value in that.
Whether someone completely reads an article or not, If they're researching Solvature and they see that we're constantly putting content out and investing in our business, they're going to have a lot more trust in what we're doing when they're prospecting for a Magento development agency. And it's just like I said with Mindy, like my trust in her increases when I see her talking to multiple hundreds of people at an event in downtown Phoenix. When you see a partner doing that sort of stuff, it just raises your clout.
Oh, absolutely.
And I mean, full disclosure, the event she invited me to, I ended up watching a different speaker.
I wasn't gonna say that.
So
I almost did.
But like I said, so if I'm not listening to her entire presentation, or like I said, reading my entire blog post, me just seeing that is enough to gain more trust.
Right. That was good.
No hard feelings.
So, Mindy, how do you juggle it all? Speaking, teaching, running your business, family.
I drink a lot of coffee. No, it really is. Okay, so it's one of those things. I actually get asked that question a lot because on top of that, just to throw one extra thing into the mix, I am working on my PhD and I'm feel like, knock on wood, I was going to say I'm almost done, but I'm not. I just started the dissertation. And so I, at this point, when will I be done? It depends on how quickly I can get through that. And so for me, it's not, there isn't a secret. I just feel like it's one, I just have to stay, like I work a lot off checklists and deadlines. I mean, that's a big thing. So I always even just impose a deadline, even if it's for myself. And then, I mean, I just have to sacrifice other things. It's not my family I sacrifice. I think I sacrifice probably just like my downtime. There's no downtime. My downtime is, well, I better sit and read a journal article for my dissertation. But, you know, with that, I feel like I'm constantly learning, which is still a passion. So it's still a good thing. But can I go back to coffee? That was the easy answer. A lot of caffeine. You stay caffeinated the whole day. It's amazing how many things you get through.
I can imagine. Well, I guess, if you keep your eye on that, you know, light at the end of the tunnel type thing, and you've got your purpose, your goal, you know, what you're trying to accomplish, then I think it adds a lot of energy into your ability to just really stay on top of things.
I would agree. And one thing that I've learned, and I know it's not unique, is that, you know, it's not just a checklist, but I have a certain goals for each day. And I can't get too ahead of myself, because I think that's where it gets really difficult. If you have a lot going on and you're like, oh gosh, but I have this also, you know, this week and this the next week, you know, just focus on today. Let's get through the things that need to be done and let's do them well, you know, to still put your all in all into it. And then we'll focus the next day. And so that's really helped me, because otherwise I can get pretty overwhelmed.
I can use that advice a little bit too. I have a tendency to look at the big picture too much, and I have to bring it back to what's in front of me.
Right.
What do I need to do right now?
And I actually look at SEO that way, is that SEO is a whole series of positive steps, because it's a slow process, which makes it really difficult with what I do. And I'm usually pretty transparent of like, this is a long-term play. It's going to take a while to start getting those leads, those, you know, the traffic to your site. But it's good in the long term. But if we keep taking those positive steps, the steps that you need to take that you know are going to make a difference, and you start to see some impact and then more impact, and then it keeps going on and on and on. And so
building blocks.
Building blocks is a great way. Yes. So that's life. Bunch of Legos too.
So I took a sneak peek at your Facebook, Alex, and you seem like you're an outdoors guy. You love to, you know,
past couple of years I've done quite a bit of traveling.
Yeah,
a lot of that stems from is my parents moved here from Germany in 91, so I spent many summers in Germany hanging out with my family, because they still all live out there. So since I was a small kid, I've done a lot of traveling, and I've seen a lot of the world, and I've just continued with that. Lately, I'm spending more time with Salvature. So
I was sort of leading into that. Is, you know, do you find the time at this point to be able to do some of those things that you love, or is that hold a bit?
Definitely all in on Salvature right now. So I'm not really planning big trips like I used to.
Yeah. Well, you do have a fascinating background. I did get a chance to read that, and you've definitely done quite a bit in terms of your time in Germany, and you played a musical instrument, am I right?
Yeah, I played the violin for like 14, 15 years every day. So,
not happening now.
No, I don't really play every day, but I played so much to the point now when I go home for Christmas and stuff, I just can play Christmas songs and even some old, like, more classical, complex songs at the top of my head. It's kind of like riding a bike at this point. I know how good I once was. I'm not at that point anymore, but
that's great.
I could
still keep it up, though.
If I practiced for a week, I could probably step on stage somewhere.
So, little birdie told me that Mindy loves Christmas music, so maybe you need to play her some violin Christmas music.
That would be fantastic. Can we plan on that?
We can make some blog posts about it.
There you go.
Do some YouTube videos. Yeah. I'll optimize them for you. As long as,
Now this I want to see.
Right.
So I think you just committed yourself to that.
We can make a Magento and SEO song.
Like, we could do the 12 days of, like, so.
Well, we could really take this some places.
Yes, we could. I think it'd be bestseller.
Well, you know, we were talking about the 5-year plan. So, you know, I don't want to put you on a hard spot, but where do you see maybe, if not yourself, Solvature in the industry in general?
I'm looking to make Solvature just the go-to expert for Magento e-commerce development. If in the Magento community right now, if you go to any Magento merchant, even agency, and you say, name me the top 5 Magento agencies in the world, they'd have a tough time doing that. They might know 5 Magento agencies, but they probably don't know the top 5. So there's still a lot of room for growth in that area. And within the Magento community, I want them to know that if they want the most scalable, reliable, fastest loading, most secure e-commerce websites, that they'll come to us, know that their marketing is being maximized. No sales are falling through the cracks. The sites are fully mobile optimized. There's a new, not brand new, it's still very fairly new, it's progressive web apps. And Google is going to start to hurting your Google ranking if you're not implementing progressive web apps. And
that's a term I've not heard before, progressive web app. Am I really behind the time to not know that?
Progressive web app is basically, instead of going onto the Apple App Store, your Google App Store, you're going to go on a site, and Magento is they're pushing hard on this. I have a feeling I'm going to a Magento Imagine conference in a couple of weeks here, and I have a feeling there's going to be a lot of talk about it. But basically, what it is if you go on the browser on your phone and go onto the website, you'll be able to add that website to your home screen and it'll be an app. And what the progressive web app does is makes the front end of the site like incredibly fast. And the faster your website is, the more user-friendly a website is, the more clout you're going to get from Google and search engines. And every millisecond, for the fastest performing websites, every millisecond faster, you'll see an uptick in sales.
So time matters with SEO.
It does. The official term, so we say page speed, and that is part of Google's ranking algorithm, and they put even more emphasis on it now. But in addition to that, Google also has mobile friendliness as one of the ranking factors. And so that came about, I would say it's been 2 years now. Google most of the time doesn't tell us anything. Like, they just make changes. And sometimes they confirm the changes. Most of the time they don't. But there was one situation where Google ahead of time said on this date, and I believe it was April 20th, I believe it was 2015. I'm losing track of time now. But it was a while back. And they gave us an actual date and said that, okay, on this date, mobile friendliness is an official factor in our algorithm. And you would think like, oh, that's great. They're so nice. They told us that. Well, in my world, everyone freaked out because Google doesn't tell you anything. And not only do they not tell you anything, they don't give you a date. And the fact that they gave us a date, the whole industry termed that update mobile get-in. It was this huge ordeal. But part of that's because, just like with what Alex is talking about, you know, speed matters. But the fact is, most of us will use our mobile device more than we'll use anything else. Right. You know, if we're sitting watching TV and our laptop's over on one side and our phone's on the other, and we see something that makes us think, oh, I want to look that up, you're going to grab your phone. And so we're always on our mobile devices. And so that makes speed very important with what Alex is talking about. And on top of that, Google has now said there is a mobile first index, is what they refer to it, which I'll spare you the nitty-gritty details, but basically what it means is the mobile version of your website is more important to Google than your desktop version. So even if you're on a laptop searching, if the business doesn't have a good mobile version, which is speed is part of it, then they're not going to show up as high in search results, even though you're not on a mobile device. And that's because Google understands user behavior. And so, I mean, that's, and you know, I'll answer the question already that about the 5 years. Like, I feel like, you know, the search engines, they're chasing the user. And for so long, a lot of people in my world too, in SEO, we chase the search engines, but things are changing. You have to chase the user too, which to me means you have to understand a lot of the psychology involved in the searcher. I mean, Google's using AI in their ranking algorithm, and AI is showing up all over the place because they're trying to anticipate the next step or what caused that person to search. And so, like for me, over the next years, I'm focusing a lot more going back to, it's actually more old school than anything else, is psychology and the user. And that's actually what my PhD is in, is psychology with an emphasis in technology, because that's where everything's going. So as much as things are advancing, it's even more that you have to understand that person. But it does go back to like this, the technology too, like with what Alex is talking about.
Right. So the psychology is important. And I have heard that that is, that's a bit of an algorithm now, which is great because for myself as a writer and marketer, you know, the psychology, well, that's been around since I think Pepsodent figured it out in, you know, the early 1900s, how to sell, you know, toothpaste. It's hit the psychology of it. But that's really interesting, Mindy, to understand that it's more than just keywords. It's so much more when you're trying to optimize your site. And so that taught me a lot.
Right. Well, there's something even known as semantic search or semantic words, meaning, you know, Google knows that, let's say you write an article and it's talking about babies. If someone searches infants, well, Google knows that's still the same. It's not like it used to be where you had to have that exact phrase. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean you don't do that, because then, I mean, SEO, you still have a mix of the keywords because you can track them. But it's Google trying to understand the intent. What was the intent behind that search? Why did someone search that? So they're really trying to understand the person more so than ever before. Well, I wouldn't say they haven't been trying. They now have technology in place that they're able to do it.
Right, right. And your job is kind of hit and miss trying to figure it out if they don't announce it ahead of time.
Well, just when you have everything figured out, they change it. No. I mean, there are the core fundamentals that don't change. Like all the other things, all those other changes, not everything will apply to every business.
So we're going to start winding down here shortly. We're going to approach the end of the hour. But I want to give you both a chance to give your contact information, if you so choose, or address anything that you want to make sure our readers, listeners, excuse me, know about you, if you have any events that might be coming up. So I'm going to give you each a few minutes just to share whatever you want to share to, you know, promote yourself and your business and how to get in touch with you.
So you can visit our website, solvature.us. I recommend following me on LinkedIn. You can find me, I'm on there as Alexander Schreck. Yeah, my last name's Schreck. The movie changed my life. It is spelled a little differently. It's S-C-H-R-E-C-K. Quick little side note. The reason the movie is called Schreck is because in German, Schreck means to scare. But in German, it's spelled S-C-H-R-E-C-K. So in the U.S., they change it to S-H-R-E-K. But I don't think I'm that scary of a person.
You don't seem to.
But on LinkedIn is kind of my home base right now for sharing anything e-commerce, starting conversations. And then on the website is where I'm doing blogging for e-commerce and Magento more specifically. And I don't really have anything else.
Okay. Okay. No, that's fine. Just like, any words of wisdom you want to throw out there for people thinking about e-commerce?
E-commerce definitely is, if you want to be an entrepreneur, e-commerce is a great opportunity for you. And right now, you want to definitely, if you have a desire to be an entrepreneur right now, start on social media, start finding what you're attracted to. And then from there, you know, I'm seeing a lot of consultancy sort of entrepreneurs blow up in on social media, and then also a lot of just e-commerce. There's a lot of like younger adults that are making a killing doing e-commerce, and even just on Shopify is just, you know, go out there and just, especially on social media, start marketing yourself and follow people and start seeing what you're attracted to, and then what you're attracted to and become passionate in is start becoming an expert in that. And then once you become an expert in that, start sharing the information and make sure that other people know about you and understand your expertise, and then interest and everything will start flowing to you. And e-commerce specifically, if you are a current merchant and you're on a legacy platform built by, you know, an IT team back in the early thousands, start thinking about, okay, what happens when the current IT team that knows the system moves on? How are we thinking of your five-year plan from now? Is it going to make sense to be on this platform 5 years from now, or would it make more sense to move to something like Magento that is more flexible? You can move, you can change developers. And then if you're an entrepreneur looking to start in e-commerce, like I said earlier, start doing some market research with some easy things like Shopify to get started. And then never forget about the underlying technology that you're running your business on. Always make sure that it's secure. Credit card stealing, customer information stealing is happening a lot now. Make sure that your e-commerce platform will always be able to scale through sales, that it won't break down at certain times. You know, don't try and penny pinch too much on the technology, because when that fails, everything's going to fail. All the money you invested into marketing is just going to blow up in smoke if those people are not able to convert on your site.
That was really valuable. Thank you for sharing that. I think that's pretty important for people to know. So, Mindy?
Okay, so the best way really to get in contact with me is through my website. So it's marketmindshift.com. And we do have a section on our website that talks about some of the upcoming events. So there are different conferences that I'll be teaching in SEO workshop. So if anyone wants to just learn it themselves or learn it enough so that when they hire a company, they don't get taken advantage of, either one. I mean, it's definitely something good to go to. Plus, we do our own workshops in Scottsdale and we do them throughout the year. And so I would say go on there if you're interested in learning more in the training or if you just want to get in contact with me. I'm also pretty active on Twitter, and I know not everyone is, but I'm pretty easy to find. My Twitter handle is my name. So it's Mindy Weinstein. And I'm on there a lot sharing about what's new in digital marketing. So as far as advice for someone, I would say that, you know, even though it's really easy to chase the shiny new object, let's just first start with ensuring that our website is the best it can be. Because if we're looking at Facebook ads, we're looking at pay-per-click, we're looking at getting traffic to our site to convert. If someone gets there and they have a bad experience, then what good did all of that do? So your website is your hub. It is the one thing that you can fully control. No one is going to change that. It is yours. And so focus on that, which piggybacks really what on Alex said is the technology makes a big difference. So that is one area that you don't want to try to scrimp on. So make sure that under the hood looks great, the outside looks great, and that you are targeting the right users. You have the right language, the right content, which I know is your world too, but making sure that is as best as it can be before we get distracted with anything else.
That's pretty valuable too. I've learned a tremendous amount being here, so I'm sure anyone listening in is going to be learning as well. And I just want to say that you both seem really smart, really on top of your game, and very in tune to where things are going right now. So can I add you to my inner circle of experts?
Of course. Of course.
Great.
I'd be honored.
Oh, thank you. Well, we're going to go ahead and wrap up. I think we've gotten all the contact information out that we need to. Folks out there, if you need to talk to Mindy or Alex, they really do know their stuff. So I would encourage you to definitely get in touch with them. Thank you so much for being here. You both contributed to a really fantastic conversation. With that, I'm going to say you've been listening to Rhino Nation. This B2B radio series has been powered by Rhino Online Strategies and eCreativity. We are here to help you free up your precious and limited time as a business owner to do what you do best, which is running and growing your business. We partner with you to identify your content and marketing needs and provide you with fresh, innovative, dynamic copy that will effectively reach your target market, leading to increased customer engagement, a higher conversion rate, and increased sales. So until next time, I'm your host, Michelle Faust.